Local historian Cece McKegg is putting together a history of Bemidji from 1940 to 1960. She invites people to share their photos and stories from that era that can be included in the book. Cece needs to receive those items by April 15th, and she's in our studios again this morning. Welcome back, Cece.
Good morning, Scott.
Thanks for coming in.
I enjoy it.
I'm so glad you came in because you sent me the most interesting email here. Now, we're going to definitely ask people to submit their photos and stories. That's one purpose of the interview today. But you have to tell me about this character, Waldo Waddles. You grew up in Bemidji.
Yes, I did.
What year did you graduate from Bemidji High School?
I graduated in 57.
Okay. Your dad was Waldo Waddles.
Yes, Waldo Willis William Waddles.
And you were Cecilia Waddles.
Yes, and I took a lot of grief about that name
did
in
you?
High school. Yes, a lot of teasing.
Is Waddles an ethnic, is there an ethnic story behind this?
It's Scottish.
It is.
And he came from the Edinburgh, not he, but the ancestors came from the Edinburgh area. And we have gone back, my brother and I, to Scotland to see if we could document anything there. They told us it was a little too early. That was the 1600s. He was sent to the plantations after... he was a soldier and was defeated by Cromwell, and he had his choice, jail in London or the plantations, and so he came to the U.S., and the name's been passed down. My brother's the last one in our line carrying that.
Yeah. Really? Doesn't have any kids?
No kids.
Oh, my goodness. We've got to remember the Waddles. Well, tell us what your dad did. He loved photography. He loved flying, too, didn't he?
He was a modern sort of man. He had three careers in his life. He first was a parts man during World War II for International Harvester and did not go overseas because he was needed here. He was considered...
Now, was that here in northern Minnesota?
Yes, in Bemidji.
Okay.
So he did that until 51, and then 1951, he added on to our house and built a photography studio. My mother did the tinting. My dad was the photographer. And they ran that for 10 years. So we collected a lot of negatives, a lot of photos from that time.
Do you think that's where you got your love of history?
It probably is partly due to that. Uh-huh. Partly due to that, yeah. So he, and then he always loved flying. He was one who followed flying from his earliest, youth. And... helped start a flying club in 1946 in Bemidji. So he followed that all the time. So we have some great aerial photos because he, combined the two interests.
Wow.
So when the sports arena, for example, caved in 1946, he went after he calmed down. I was in the arena when it caved in.
Were you really?
My father was very upset.
What caused that? Was it snow?
Snow.
Too much snow on the roof?
Yes, that was January 4th, just at the end of the Christmas holiday. And the public school kids had already gone back to school. The Catholic school kids had the day off.
Is that you?
That's me.
Mm-hmm. What was the school you went to?
St. Philip's.
Okay.
St. Philip's. So there were probably a dozen of us. It was just a grade school.
Okay.
Up through the eighth grade.
Okay.
And we were skating in there when it caved in. None of us were... seriously hurt, and I walked home on my skates about a block and a half, told my mom and dad, and after my dad calmed down, he went out the airport, got in the plane, took a photo of that cave-in. So we have that, which is going to be a unique photo for the book.
Now, where was the skating rink? Is there still a recreational site there, or where is it?
Now it's the Northland Senior Apartments.
Oh, okay.
It was right on between 6th and 7th on America Avenue, and it was a WPA building, quite old, and the roof had been looked at just a year before. They kind of questioned whether it was okay, but then we had a very, winter with lots of snow. And all of a sudden, there was this rumbling and sawdust and wires and so on coming down. And I was one of those who couldn't get off the ice. We couldn't escape fast enough. So the timbers came down, but they sort of formed a little teepee-like arced area. And I didn't get seriously hurt.
Wow. Now, your dad also, he died in a plane crash, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He died in a plane crash in
69.
He was an aerobatics instructor, and he was flying routine.
What did your mom think of that? Of all his flying, was she ever worried? Were you ever...
My mother was always worried about his flying. It was always a concern, but it was a dear, it really was a love of his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so after he was killed, then she had a four-year-old. I have a sister who's younger than my oldest child. She had a four-year-old to raise. So she put, you know, sort of put things away in storage and went on with her life and mm-hmm. kept working. And it wasn't until about 2 years ago that we decided to dig out all those studio items and see what was there, just see what was in that collection of photos. And my brother and my son started going through negatives, and they discovered some good things. We yeah. decided this would be a good basis for a book.
All right, so you're going to have a lot of pictures in this book.
We will have a lot of pictures, a lot of text, too, because I really do want to tell the story of Bemidji in those days.
In the 1940s and 1950s. Cece McKeag is the project director for the Headwaters American History Collaborative. What's that?
That's the group here of school districts that combined work together for different projects. And it includes schools, Grand Rapids, Deer River, Reamer, Floodwood, the area schools. In order to get this competitive grant, we went after it together as a group. So we do professional development for history teachers.
Great. That's just terrific. Now, I didn't know there was a Munsingware factory in Bemidji.
Oh, yes. That was quite an operation.
Where was that?
Across the street from where I grew up, actually, on the corner of 5th and Irvin Avenue. The building was built by the WPA for a sewing project. So many of the women who went to work for Munsingware had previously worked for the WPA.
This would have been in the 1930s then.
Yes, it was built in the 1930s, about the same time the sports arena was. They were just a block apart. And Munsingware decided to expand up into Bemidji. So in 1944, they opened a plant there, and they hired as many as 120 women at a time.
Wow, that is amazing. Is Munsingware a Minnesota-based company, or was it?
Yes, it was.
And the cities?
Yes, out of Minneapolis.
Okay.
And so they've merged with other companies. I'm not real sure of their current situation, mm-hmm. but they produced Vanity Fair lingerie for a while, which is a name.
I always think of them as underwear producers.
Underwear.
Is that
mm-hmm.
mainly it?
Yes.
Okay.
It was mainly brassieres.
Oh, really?
That were in Bemidji.
Hey, who was the actress from Bemidji?
Jane Russell.
Ooh.
Yes.
She should have been worked for Munsingware.
She should have. That would have been good. So, for example, I had a lady call me and said she had an 8x10 photo of her mother and a group of ladies standing out in front of Munsingware, and she'd be glad to share it for this book. And that's the kind of thing I'm just delighted to have people call me about. I met her at McDonald's. We scanned the photo. It'll be a great photo for the book, not only cool. because, you know, her mom's in it, but all these local women from the area. A lot of them must have walked to work or must have mm-hmm. ridden a bus. We never had a parking problem in the neighborhood, so I assume those were the days when
you were walking, or
women either walked or they caught a bus or something in order to get over to the factory to work. And it was 24 hours a day.
Really?
Yeah, they had a night shift. They got, I think, 7 cents more an hour for the night shift than they did for the day shift.
Really? Now, during the war, did they switch and produce anything for the war, or was it...
No, they were
domestic.
You know, they started in 44 and they just stayed with that.
Do you remember how long the Munsingware factory was there?
I think it closed in 52.
Okay.
And then it became a church. So we've had the church across the street for many, many years.
So is it still there?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. It has changed congregations a few times, but it's still a church.
Mm-hmm.
And the
parking
lot. From
a brassiere factory to a church.
Exactly.
Hibbing is gone up
in
spiritual development.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Well, now, okay, so you would like people to call you.
Yes.
We can give out your phone number.
That's no problem.
And we have your email address. Let's give the phone number. It's 654-5011. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And the email address is cmckeig@gmail.com. Now, we've got all this info here, so if you weren't able to write that down, you can just call us here at the station. What are there any other kind of... you got to tell us about a few more of these pictures from that you particularly liked.
Well, one of the things that really interests me is the remembering back what it was like to be in the 50s in the Cold War, I think we forget how scared we really were. We were told all the time that we were in imminent danger. So in Bemidji, they built the Bemidji Civil Defense Filter Center. And that was quite an operation. We had the Air Force there.
Filter Center?
Filter Center. And the idea was that Bemidji was chosen as the location that ground observers would report to. There were people trained all over northern Minnesota, western Dakotas, and even into northern Michigan, were trained to observe airplanes, identify them, call them into a center. And we had a huge plexiglass board that went like 12 feet high, 10 feet wide, and we plotted the path of those planes. We were scared to death that we were going to be attacked from the north by the Russians. They were going to come in over that unprotected Canadian border. And I think people forget, you know, about that kind of thing, about, you know, the practices we had. We used the city restroom as an air shelter. And so some of these pictures, I think, will remind people it's not the best, most pleasant thought, but it was a period of time when we were convinced we were definitely in danger of invasion.
And I think they put this in Bemidji, don't you, because the Russians wouldn't dare bomb Paul and Babe.
Well, it was just too cold. We had minus 50 in those years. We have a number of days when we really hit bottom. You know, it was bitterly, bitterly cold and lots of snow, and even the Russians might not have wanted to come to Bemidji.
Wow, that's amazing. And there's all kinds of, this isn't necessarily a small historical story, I would say, this about the filter center.
The filter center is important, and the Ground Observer Corps. These were volunteers, gave 2 hours a week. My mother and father went up into the cupola, the top of the courthouse, with binoculars, and they would spend their 2 hours observing. Then this was reported back to the filter center. And because it was run by all these Air Force people, it was for us young girls, it was a very attractive place to hang out. We were eager to volunteer.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, you know, there's an air base. It's not operating anymore, I know, but up in Grand Rapids right here, I know there was a lot of airmen here in the 50s. I think it closed down either in the late 60s or early 70s.
There wasn't a lot of training that went on. We had Seabees. We had the Navy come in, do a lot of, there was a lot of cold weather testing for cars and planes, testing of skis when they first started using skis on some of the C-130 heavy planes, testing them at Bemidji. So that's all part of the story.
Wow.
Then you also have all the things that don't exist anymore, the little lakefront rides and the paddle boat that used to be out on the lake, all the tourism aspects, the big water carnival.
And Carl Kummer's shoe repair shop.
Absolutely. And that's good, too. I love that kind of thing from people.
Yeah, on 3rd Street in Bemidji. Well, Cease, this is a great project. Now, your deadline for receiving this is tax day, April 15th.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yes.
So, folks, if you have in the Bemidji area, or maybe you have relatives that grew up there and you're living who knows where now, but if you have some photos or stories from the history of Bemidji between 1940 and 1960, Cease would like to see your photos and hear your stories. And she's kind of an editing deadline of April 15th. So call us if you want more information. Cease, it's always good to talk to you and find out what the latest thing you're following and working on now. I know you've got another book in the works, too. We talked with you last year about how's that coming along.
Right now, Renee Geving has it. She's doing the final proofing, and we have to make those corrections, and it will go to the printer.
And it's, what's the name of it?
It's on murder and mayhem in Cass County in the early, early years, 1898 to 1935.
You wouldn't believe what was going on, folks. If you think it's the good old days.
That's right.
Think twice.
Right.
Thanks, Cease.
Thank you.
Cease McKegg, local historian and the director, project director of the Headwaters American History Collaborative. And again, if you want more information about her project, her most immediate project is putting together information and photos about the history of Bemidji from 1940 to 1960. Call us here at KAXE for more information. 218-326-1234.